What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the See You Next Tuesday podcast. I'm Shay.
And I am Shannon.
We are happy to be back. We had some technical difficulties last week, yes. Which it happens, okay?
Yeah, we're just two girls in a podcast.
We really just are. We really are just two girls figuring this out. Like, yeah. We are production, we are edit, we mm-hmm. are post, we are mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Neil. We have Neil.
We have Neil. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Neil. A little he does the long form editing. We do short form.
He does.
Yeah. So it's really a lot of it is us. So we put in the work, okay? And sometimes things don't work out. But yeah. It happens. So anyways.
Thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, we're excited to chat today. We've got some things. We've got some tea and some movies to talk about.
Yes. But first, I have to say,
mm-hmm.
go birds.
Oh, you're so, she walks in with this and I'm like, you're so cute.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
We are. Yes. If you don't know, I am from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania-ish. I'm from Bethlehem, if you know that area. We love her. But, of course, naturally, I'm an Eagles fan. I like to say I'm a silent Eagles fan.
Okay.
And that's...
That's very quiet to me.
Yes. I'm quiet about it. No. When I say silent, I'm just not obnoxious, because let me tell you, I have seen some Eagles fans videos and I'm like, whoa, calm down there, brother.
calm down there brother. We get it.
I just like to wear my Eagle stuff and I like to post that they won.
I'm so. Definitely a bandwagoner, so
yeah, you're an Eagles
I may
fan.
Turn around and turn to be an Eagles fan. I'm definitely rooting for the Eagles just because of you for the Super Bowl.
You should. I think all of America wants the Chiefs to lose.
Which
a little football T. I don't even know if you know anything about football.
Please give it to me. I'll follow along.
Well, it's kind of fun. Like, I think it was 2 years ago. Don't quote me on that. The Chiefs and the Eagles were in the Super Bowl and the Eagles lost. So Travis Kelce plays on the Chiefs. And then his brother, Jason Kelce, played at the Eagles.
Oh, I did know
so
that.
So his mom was wearing like a split shirt.
I have seen that. Yeah, that was really cute.
So like, he retired after that game. Aww. Jason Kelce. And him and his wife are huge. Everyone knows them. They love them, whatever. And everyone's been asking, like, so who are you guys rooting for this year? Because, like, Jason Kelce's no longer on the Eagles. And
did he say the Eagles?
And it's hilarious. The way they answer kills me. Because, like, if you know, like, people from Philadelphia, Eagles fans, like, die hard.
Yeah.
Eagles fans. And that's why some people hate us. But Jason Kelce was like, you know, like, I'll always root for Travis.
Right.
I'm rooting for Travis.
No, you won't say the Chiefs.
And he's not going to say it. I'm rooting for. And then he's like, but, you know, I wasn't Eagle. Like, I was an Eagles player. Like, I'm rooting for my boys kind of thing.
He's not going to be mad if the Eagles win.
He's not
going to
be mad if the Eagles win.
For sure.
But, like, I'm like, I get it. And then even his wife on her podcast, she was like, because everyone's been asking, like, who are you rooting for? Because she is a die-hard Eagles fan, born and raised. And she literally was like, you know, like, Travis is my family. And she kind of said the same thing. She was like, I'm rooting for Travis to have a great game and all this stuff. And she was like, but, you know, I'm a part of the Philadelphia community, like the Eagles family. And she's like, I'm also rooting for the Eagles.
Well, for sure. You don't have to just sway your answer just because. I mean, if my sister played on the Chiefs and I played on the Eagles, I'd be like, Peyton, screw you.
I know. That's why I said I'd be like, I'd be rooting for my team.
I'd be rooting for my team. Of course I will be.
Love you. Hope you have a great game.
Hope you have a great game and don't get injured.
Yeah, but I'm going to win.
So I was just looking up who is doing the halftime show. And
it's, oh, my God.
Kendrick Lamar.
And SZA.
That is such a good halftime show. That'll be so, so hype. That's the only reason I watch, let's be real. Like, yeah. I don't watch football.
Do you have, like, a memorable halftime show? Do you always watch the Super Bowl?
I literally just turned it on for the halftime
show. Just for the halftime show.
Of course.
So you turn it on every year, but just for the halftime show.
Right.
Okay.
Beyonce, memorable.
She shut the place down, literally.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure my parents were at that game.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And Shakira and
Shakira was good.
All of them. That was a really fun one mm-hmm. that year. Rihanna. Oh my God. Rihanna.
Rihanna was a good one. And I will say I was a part of the group that was like, is she pregnant?
Because
she didn't announce it yet.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not going to be that person that's like, yeah. Is Rihanna pregnant? She's not pregnant because that's, you know.
Yeah. She's like, one thing, a little fact, she's for me, all time, forever favorite artist. Always.
She's
forever.
Awesome. I mean, like,
Number one. Sorry.
Her music, like, forever is just embedded in my life.
There, it just doesn't get better. You know what I mean?
It's so. Every generation of my life, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a Rihanna song for that.
100%.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
And there better be some more in my adult life, girl.
I know.
Give it to me.
Come on.
But that'll be a really good one. SZA's like also on my top list right now. She's just killing it.
Her new album.
Oh my God.
I love it.
I love it and I love her.
Oh my God. And I love Doechii. We all know this.
Oh, I love Doechii. Doechii. She's just different.
She's, you know what I said? And I stand by this. Doechii is the female version of Tyler, the Creator. Like, she's very unique. Like, Tyler, the Creator is very, like, artsy and, like, the way he raps and the way he performs and, like, everything. Doechii's got that vibe where she's also, like, very unique, very creative. She's, like, a female rapper, but she's so different in her own. I can't describe it, but so unique and so beautiful.
I was going to say she reminds me of Hobo Johnson.
Who the heck is Hobo Johnson?
Okay, let me just...
Hobo Johnson?
Hobo Johnson. Let me just please show you a little snippet of Hobo Johnson because it's like very similar to...
Young man is a young man. He writes stories. He's a writer, a little writer boy. He
already.
Girl already has a boyfriend. She kind of loves him back, but not really. They're just really good friends. And that's fine. He understands. It's rational. Hi. What's your name?
Only just like a little bit more indie.
Indie, yeah. Yeah. But that's what...
But it's the talking and like the interacting and
It's the storytelling. Like Denial is a River. When I listened to that, I was like, this is a full-blown story.
Right.
Which is why I love it.
Yeah.
Because you can like really resonate with the lyrics and they're fun to sing. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. Like I saw her performance. I don't know what it was on or where she performed, but it was just like so insane to watch. Like she self-censors herself on TV. And which I think is impressive. Like, can you imagine rapping like that fast and then just being like F-bomb and she like self-censors herself? Like,
yeah, that is pretty crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
But I mean, obviously I have to be like, beat me out. Like, I know. Can't help it.
Like, please silence me.
It's a part of my language.
But she had these two backup dancers. It was just her and two backup dancers and all of their braids were connected. So
Shut.
When they were dancing, they had to dance together. It was crazy.
That is so sick.
It was so sick. I like watched it the entire like 3.5 minutes.
That is
it was
so sick. Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Just like, I love creative shit, dude. I somebody was talking to me the other day. I think it was your friend at the gym. And he was like, oh, like, you know, how was college and stuff? And I was like, I think from a very young age, I knew I was like artistic, you know?
Yeah.
Like in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Like I love artistic shit. I love things that are like shock me and are like, oh my God, like that was weird and amazing. You should listen to Hobo Johnson. That's
I know, now
weird
I'm sold
and amazing.
On that.
Yeah.
No, same though.
But it's the storyline. It's like the little tidbits. I think one thing that I do like about like the whole Taylor Swift thing, or like the lore of it. It's only like the stories that I'm really connected to. Like I'm connected to
Of her music or like of her life?
Of her life that connects to the music. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, oh, this is about like this story and like this boyfriend or whatever. Like, I do like the stories behind it.
I do like that too. Rather than just having, you know, like that new Bruno Mars song. Like, I'm sorry, what?
It's like a kid who just turned 18.
And he's like, oh my God.
I'm
going to sing
about Fat, Juicy, and Wet. Oh my God, that makes me want to cry saying it out
loud. It's literally a like WAP all over again.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I was always like, Bruno Mars, excuse me.
But
I'll
like,
catch a grenade for you.
What is going on with Mr. Bruno Mars? Because, okay, you're going to come out with Die with a... What is it?
Lady Gaga?
Yes, the Lady Gaga on that one. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to come out with APT, and then you're going to come out with...
Oh, I do love APT.
With, what is it? Freaking Brazil. And then you're going to come out with Fat, Juicy, and Wet. Like, where did you come from?
Pick a genre, Bruno. Well,
no, I do love it, but I'm like, when did you just decide you're going to come out with all this shit randomly on a Tuesday afternoon?
My thing is like, okay, Bruno, you don't have to pick a genre, but like, if you're not going to pick a genre, we got to be doing hit after hit.
I think he has been doing hit after
but
hit.
But the
die
I don't
the,
even know what it's
die
called.
Die with wet, a smile.
Fat,
Juicy, and Wet.
I can't get behind that song. I can't even physically listen to it.
I cannot get behind that song, but you know what? I can get behind the beat. If it has a good beat.
Yeah, it's fair.
Fat, Juicy, and Wet. And I'm like, damn, like, I don't want to sing that, but I really like the beat of it. But
I'm such a singer. Like, if I
am
can't,
a singer.
If I can't sing, well, I say that and I love EDM music.
Right. but you have like, you dance, and then you sing.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
No, I think he's come out. The three before Fat, Juicy, and Wet were bops.
I do. Yeah, I do
like love
APT.
Them.
I do. Like, I'd be walking around like,
I love APT.
I can't even sing it.
I like Brazil, mostly because of the dance. It's really funny. Yeah. And then Die with a Smile or whatever it was. That one also. I love to sing it. Like, yeah. Belch, that one.
That one. Yeah. That one's a good one. Plus so, Lady Gaga.
But like, where did he even come from?
No, he came out of the woodworks.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I'm picking my Versace off the floor and I'm putting it back on.
I forgot about his Versace shit.
He said, I'm putting it back on.
He kind of is like...
generational for sure.
He is again another generational one. Yeah. Where it's like, you know what? But it makes you think like, who are like the songs that we listen to over and over and over again that just kind of like fell off?
Katy Perry. Well, she didn't really fall off. But
she's around, but her songs aren't good nowadays.
Yeah, agreed.
Right.
The only song I actually...
I don't want to be...
No, I agree. I don't think she's...
screamed at for saying that.
Her songs were great.
Her songs are amazing growing up.
Oh my God.
You're so gay and you don't even like boys. Excuse me?
I kissed a girl?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could go on.
Teenage Dream. Okay, sorry.
Oh yeah. Love them. Love them.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel...
Dude, it's so good.
I could. But the only Katy Perry song I actually do like is the one with Doechii.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
You probably have.
Haven't, I didn't know.
Yeah, I literally can't remember. I can't remember the name of the song, but it's fun to sing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just makes me think of like who, you know, just crazy, crazy times when we were
Hillary
kids.
Hillary Duff.
Yeah, she came out with the hairline, actually. Anyways.
We could go on.
Yeah, we could go on. I've been having a pretty fun week, though. Today, I just got 4 new piercings on my ear, and it was really fun. I was like nervous as hell, but I was like, I just want to like rip the band-aid off. I know I want to get like my ears pierced and like do like the whole map of it and stuff.
Same.
And so I was like, I'm just gonna rip the band-aid off and do it. And so I worked with studs downtown, and I had a freaking
blast.
Oh,
you worked with them?
Yeah, I had a freaking
blast. Oh, that's
fun. Yeah, it was really cool. Like,
I like studs. That's where, like, if I'm gonna get my ears pierced, that's where I'm gonna
100%. And they're in the girl who did my piercing, she was like, when was the last time you got your ears pierced? And I was like, well, I don't know, but I remember it being with a gun, and I don't know if it's ever healed. And so she helped me with those, and I was like, I just have never gotten my ears really professionally done. I genuinely have only done a gun.
No, I was a what is that? I used to go to like the mall.
Claire's?
Like, no, not Claire's. It was like Pagoda.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I don't know if maybe it's like just up north. I don't know. I know Aisha knows what I'm talking about. but it was like this, you go to the mall and you know, there's little stands in the middle of the mall.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was one of those.
One of those.
And it was a gun piercing.
Right.
And I remember, oh man, I don't know when I got my first piercing, but I was pretty young. And then the second one was like, Mom, please let me get my second hole pierced. She's like, no.
Yeah.
No. I think when I was like 18, my mom would know, but I was older. I was like 18, yeah. Maybe 21. I don't know. And I got my second hole pierced. And I would always be like, Mom, it's not fair. Like, you have 3 holes pierced and I can't get my second hole pierced. My mom pierced her own ears.
That's crazy.
And she only has 3 on one side because I think I remember saying she couldn't follow through though on the other side.
Yep.
But,
oh no, that would be so hard to do on your own.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
No, I couldn't. I mean, I was sitting in there today and like, it's painful, but like.
With the needle and
if I did it by myself, it would be too slow to where it's way more painful than it would be just having somebody do it.
But I remember I finally got my 3rd hole pierced because my mom let me.
Thanks, Karen.
When I was 23.
Fully grown and moved out of the house, like, graduated college.
I was out of college, COVID. Actually, it was literally the week before the world shut down.
Oh, my
God. Everyone was wearing masks. It was like, it was my 23rd birthday because I was born on March 14th. And the week after that, COVID happened. I turned 23 and I was like, yeah, pierce my ear before this world pandemic happened.
I love that. I had so much fun and I can't stop looking at my ear.
I know
it's my small ear, and I always thought it was too small to get anything done, and I always did things on my big ear.
Wait, you have a small ear and a big ear?
Girl, if trust you me. Look at me, it's you look straight on me. This girl's popping out like nobody's business. And I was always okay with it. And I was like, oh, I'll just pierce that one all up and it'll be like decorative. And then my small one will just be hidden. But I did my small one anyway. And it looks really cute.
I've always, for a while I've wanted to get like more piercings, mm-hmm. but I got my cartilage pierced. I think when I was like 18. My
cartilage mom, is a pain.
And it did not heal. It was brutal. I still have a bump on the back of my ear from mm-hmm. it. And I just was like, maybe I'm just not that type of person to get a cartilage. Like, you know, I feel like maybe yeah. it just doesn't heal up right.
Well, the thing is, when I got mine done today, they were like, okay, come back in 2 months and we're going to downsize it. And I don't know what that means, but I
think... Would you get a gauge?
No, but I think that it's like, I think there's something with it where you get something maybe a little bit bigger, and then when it kind of heals and they don't, and they... I don't know, but I'm supposed to go in again in 2 months that they can downsize it. I don't know what that means, but I think that keeps your ears from bumping, from like
doing I don't know what it is. It's like keloids, almost like, yeah, that's what it was. Is it? It's like a kilo. Oh, I hate it though. I mess right. with it all the
but
time.
But I'm so in my like, I'm gonna make sure these babies are taken care of. You fully taken
cleaning
care of.
All oh, day every day.
Absolutely, because I'm like, they're so beautiful, and they I are. Want them to be in my ears forever. So
wait, did you only get 1 ear?
I got 1 ear, and then I got 2. She helped me with the 2 cartilages that I've been
up over yep, there,
and yep. she helped me with those. So I have all of them.
So now my ears are locked and loaded.
I got 6 of them today. Like, that's pretty crazy. And I was just sitting there like, ew, ew. It hurt, God. But it was fun. Anyways, I just felt like a little kid going to Claire's and getting my ears pierced again.
Getting your ears pierced really is like nostalgic, I feel like, for girls.
Picking out your little earrings and
because
stuff.
Like, yeah, you're like at the case and you're like looking and you're like, ooh, I want that one, I want that one.
Right.
But and then you get them pierced and you walk out and you're like, it really, it's very nostalgic for girls, I feel like.
I'm also in this like era where I'm like, I don't know, it's like a changing era.
Man, you got a different toner on your hair and you want to start changing everything.
I do want to start. I'm like, do I make a tattoo appointment? I already did, actually. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my. I did. I'm like in my like.
Wait, do you know what you want?
Yep.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Oh, wait, I know what you're getting.
Yes.
Right.
So
That makes sense.
It makes sense.
Tea,
but we're not going to spill.
No. I was going to bring up, I thought was hilarious, is last episode we talked about boundaries.
Yeah.
And then we went out last weekend. And let me tell you, Shay said, I'm a set boundary.
Yeah. Yeah.
This girl,
I mean, I was definitely talking about in life, but this shit.
She took what I said, like my joke being like, ha ha, on Fridays.
Yep.
Shay took that to heart on Friday.
I'm a confrontational person.
I love
only
it.
When it comes to like gross, weird men. And I will bark at you. I will scream at you. Like, I literally do not
she'll
care
get you
how
kicked out.
I look. Oh, and I will get you kicked. And I'll get you kicked out.
For me.
If I have to reject you twice, you're literally getting kicked out. Like, I don't care where I'm at. Like, I will literally get you gone. So
he was lurking. He was lurking bad. It
and
was
being
weird.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was.
But we set those boundaries, girls. And that we had ourselves a girls' night. Oh,
that night killed me.
I know.
That night killed me.
We had a lot of fun, though. We did Shannon just love shooting the shit, okay? We love our girls' nights. We cherish our time together. Time
it's
with
just
your girls.
Us.
My God, it's like, it is so relaxing to just hang out with you and do anything.
We literally, we'll literally go out and me and you are just chatting away. And then somehow life hits us with like this like hilarious plot.
I know.
And I'm like,
there's always a storyline when we're out.
No, like when I think about like last weekend when we went out, hilarious.
Yeah.
Like when I start thinking about that night and what transpired throughout that night, I'm cracking up.
Literally. And it's like one thing after the other. But I also just love going out with your girls because it just feels like no matter what you do, like you're going to shoot the shit. You're going to have a crazy story. You're going to have fun.
Because all I care about is like, oh, Shay's with me. Cool. That's all I care about.
Right.
And that's it. Like, I'm not
like, I don't care where I'm at.
Yeah. I was like, if anything,
how I get there.
People talk to me. I don't care
what I do. Yeah.
Interesting.
We have fun. So where are we going with that? Oh, boundaries. That
boundaries.
Was funny.
I thought it was really funny. We talked about it. And then like when we went out, I was like,
okay. Boundaries. I do have to bring up, because this is a hot topic right now, about the Rachel Kirkconnell interview, Call Her Daddy. I remember seeing Matt's Instagram post and being like,
oh, you saw it.
Yeah. I did. I remember because the last Bachelor that I watched was that season. Same. So like that's like still kind of fresh on my mind.
It's the last Bachelor for me.
It is.
I'm like, I haven't watched anything else.
And so I'm like, it's very fresh on my mind. And I just remember very vividly like watching it and being like, okay, well, first of all, here is my tea on with the Bachelor. I turned that on. I saw all the women, and then three episodes in, I was like, it's going to be Rachel. No f-ing doubts about
really?
It.
Oh, really?
Not a single doubt about it. Not a single doubt. And I think it was just like, she just like, I just gravitated towards her. She literally is gorgeous. Cool. She's cool. Yeah. She was chill. She wasn't like trying to stir up shit. She was just kind of like very easygoing and also still interesting and like all the things. Rachel, I have a crush on you. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, dang.
But I was like, it just was so, it was so obvious to me. And then turns out it was Rachel. And
turns out I was right.
Turns out, of course, I was right. Like, what do you mean?
What am I wrong?
So then they date for 4 years? Three years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It was COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am like, first of all, I was like, I saw the post and I've been kind of following. I've followed her since the show. So I've been following her for a while. And then like, I like really liked her and Matt's relationship. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people got invested in their relationship and they posted a lot and they like went and did like really cool food reviews. And I don't know. I just feel like I really liked them and I liked how they didn't put their business online, but they were still like online.
It felt real because right. like we could see it online and it just felt very like, felt like a normal relationship. Like they were posting funny videos of each other, like they COVID together and the whole thing.
So the post was just really odd and she goes on, Call Her Daddy. And first of all, it's just sad. Like she just seems really, really, really heartbroken and sad. Her face is puffy. She's been like,
yeah, she's obviously been crying.
You can tell she's been crying.
It's fresh.
The whole interview, her voice is so shaky where she's like, am I gonna break down? I just need to get this out. I'm gonna break down, you know.
I hate that.
It was so heartbreaking. Like every girl has been there and everybody knows what she's feeling and like the heartbreak and just the, it's a lot. And I feel for her and I'm like, I honestly messaged her and I was like I was like, you were so vulnerable and like just so open and like I respect it and you made me feel less alone. That's what I said. And I was like, thank you for that. Hope you're doing good. Whatever. And so I just like, you could tell she was still like really new. It was really fresh. Like a lot was going through her head, but she got the story out really well and she like told her side of things really well. So without like putting him down, you know? Mm-hmm. So what happened was they were in Tokyo and she was going to look at restaurants. Which is crazy that you told me that story earlier because listen to this. She was like, it was her job to find a restaurant because of something that he had to do or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she was looking at restaurants. She couldn't find a restaurant. She was like, you could tell she had so much pressure on her to find a good restaurant. And she was like, it's because like, that's what
it's
he does.
Whole schtick.
Yeah, it's their whole schtick. And it was definitely like he puts pressure on it without, you could just tell like it was very
without him actually verbally having to put pressure on it.
There's pressure on it. Yeah, and she is like, you can tell she's nervous as hell about where they're going to eat and if it's going to be good because their reservation.
That's just crazy in general.
It is because she made all these reservations. One got canceled. She has figured out. And so she's like, I'm trying to find a place, you know, we go and it just turns out to be not good. And it sucks because she's saying like she wasn't feeling good that day, like she's on her period, she was like just not feeling great. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So she was like not great at dinner, and then she gets to dinner and then the food's crap, and so she's just like silent at dinner. And you know, we've all also been there, like yeah.
Nothing's going your way. Nothing. And you're on your period.
Yeah.
And I'm silent.
Yeah. And like you had so much pressure on getting this reservation and you get it and the food sucks. And that's like a wasted time opportunity for content for them and like for their jobs and stuff. So you could just tell that it was just like she was not feeling it, whatever. So they were weird. And anyways, that led to their ultimate breakup, essentially. So they break up because they were like just, you know, kind of annoyed with each other, whatever. And he's like, I don't see myself marrying you. And she was like,
we said that?
Yeah. He was like, I don't see you being like my wife. I don't see you like,
what are we doing here?
The way she said it like it was normal. But I was like, my God, that hurts, girl. I don't see myself marrying you. I don't see you being my person. Like after 4 years, after you told me, they were talking about wedding rings. They were talking about wedding food. They were talking about kids, like all of these things. And then he says that to her. And I'm like, what the hell?
I feel like there's a way better way to go about that.
There, I know. And it was just like, And she didn't like hate on him for it. She was like, I get it. Like when somebody looks at you and they say like, you're not my person. It's time to walk away. It's time to get your stuff, walk away. There's nothing you can do. You cannot change their mind, nor do you want to.
Yeah.
You know? So she was very like level headed, I feel like, about it. And I know it's like so sad and like, obviously, you know, devastating, but she was still like, it's time to walk away, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really come back from that.
Really smart of her.
Yeah. So she left but he did this 2 hours before she has to go get on a plane. So she then gets her things, goes to get on a plane.
Where were they again?
Tokyo, I believe.
That's
yeah.
The spiral I would have on that plane is insane. Drive myself insane.
It gets worse. It gets worse. Okay? You ready for this? So they break up and she's going to get on this plane. He knew. It was like he almost waited for her to start packing her shit to go get on the plane before he broke up with her. Like, okay, first of all, whatever. Like,
weird.
Whatever, you know? Okay, I'll take that hit. And then she gets to the airport. She's on the plane. She's on the aircraft when she gets a text from her best friend saying, oh my God, what happened? Or something like that. Like, did you see, like, I just saw Matt's post. And so she is taking off the tarmac.
And when she gets that text?
When she gets that text and she sees the post, and then for 12 hours, silence, radio silence.
She loses everything. She loses Wi-Fi.
Like service. Her phone can't get Wi-Fi on planes or something like that because of like whatever. So,
girl, I've been having that problem lately. And clearly it's a big problem because that's a time you want your Wi-Fi to connect.
Yeah, girl. So she has nothing to go off of after that. She's just sitting there for 12 hours being like,
wait, you said she saw the story or she didn't see the story, just her friend?
I believe she saw the post, yeah.
Before she took off.
That's a long flight. And so for him to post that to everyone without giving you a text warning.
That's just messed up.
It's messed up.
There's just like something about like, okay, understand, like you don't feel the same way you did in the beginning. You need to break up and whatever. I feel like there's just a better way to go about it because like people are still people with feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. Like that's such a blunt and abrupt way to say it, even though that might be how he felt. Mm-hmm. You can just like go about it a lot nicer and more like, I don't know, caring.
More like, you've been amazing, you know? I mean, I'm like sure you're great. Maybe he was. Yeah,
I mean, like we weren't there. Obviously, we don't know. But it's just like, that's crazy. But then it's the...
Yeah.
The story, like, I don't know. Like, if I was famous.
No, it was a post.
He posted a picture of them. It wasn't the Bachelorette or Bachelor. Yeah. God, I gotta stop doing that.
Yeah.
A Bachelor picture. Anyways, if I was at that fame, I don't know, D-list celebrity, is that what they are? Like, reality TV show celebrities.
Yeah.
I would never do that to someone.
No.
I would never post.
A public relationship in general, that's just like, that's messed up.
Like, no one else really deserves to know until you two sit down together and decide to tell everyone together.
Shannon, imagine this. Imagine, ooh, this is the part that got me. It should have gotten me sad for her. It got me pissed. It got me pissed off because he told everybody, and when she said this, I was literally like, are you fucking kidding? He sucks. When she said this, she was like, I couldn't even call my mom. I couldn't call my little sister and tell her. I couldn't tell my best friend. I couldn't tell my family. They all found out. And I
couldn't.
Wait,
that's
and then,
so messed up. I didn't even think about that.
And then her mom can't even call her. Her little sister can't even call her because she's on a 12-hour flight. Like, how messed up are you? To do that to somebody, I can't even, and I can't call, if I could not call my sisters before somebody announces our public breakup
to the whole world. Oh my God.
I would be guns blazing because it's like that hurts.
Yeah. Well, also it hurts everyone else too. Cause like your mom, your sisters, everyone cares about you. So they're all like, oh my God, are you okay? And then, I mean, I would hope that everyone knew she was on a flight, but if they didn't, you know,
then it's like, oh my God.
What's wrong? Is she okay?
I'm like, sure they all knew that.
I'm still that girl that's like, hey, mom, I'm boarding the plane.
Right, me too. Of course. Tell somebody.
I just got to the airport.
Tell somebody for sure. But it's just like that one broke me into pieces because I could not imagine myself like in her situation, not even in like the way she said little sister, I was like, you know that her little sister like looked up to that relationship so much and she couldn't,
you know, she probably really loved Matt too.
And she couldn't even like break the news to her little sister.
That's hard.
Screw you. That sucks.
Yeah. Because it's one thing, it's like him breaking up with her, it's like, okay, like, you know, but it's him taking it to that whole public post, the whole her getting on a, that's just, everything just feels messed up after that.
Right. And so, and then it's like, and then for him to do that, but then also make like the caption a prayer, it's like you're like making yourself seem righteous.
Yeah.
When it's like,
You're doing such a disrespectful thing,
but because you put it as a prayer, you feel better about it. I'm sure. It's like, come on. You know?
Yeah, I don't.
So anyways,
I feel like there's a lot that's going to over the next couple of weeks that's going to come out about him. Maybe like the way their relationship was, maybe how she ultimately got treated. I'm not saying anything like that bad, but like, you know, maybe it just wasn't as of a nice relationship that we as an audience saw.
Yeah, I think so too. I do think so too. I mean,
there was a lot of like maybe toxicity going on. But
I think there was, but it's like it's like there can be manipulation and toxicity without somebody being mean and like aggressive and loud about it. You can be quiet and manipulative.
Because it's,
you
like,
know what I mean?
The fact that she felt so much stress and so much pressure and anxiety to pick a restaurant,
you can tell.
I'm like, that's kind of like a sign, like.
Plus, all of us women know that feeling, and we know why she has so much pressure around that.
I can't even decide for myself if I want McDonald's or Chick-fil-A.
But, like, we know we know how much pressure is put on her, you know, like, by somebody else, by her partner, pretty much.
Well, and that's the thing, though, is, like, he obviously, like, made her feel a certain way before this, before having her pick this restaurant. So it's like, that's what transpires, like all this anxiety and pressure that she's feeling. So it's like, oh, well, last time he got so upset at me.
Yeah.
And it's like,
or he just got so upset in general because the food was bad and he couldn't
honestly,
really. Yeah.
Like, grow up. Like, you can't control that. Like,
I know. Right. But like, it, and you know what the whole thing was, which was also just like, you know, I send my love to you, Rachel, because she, the whole time she was still just being the bigger person. Like, she was telling the story and being like, you can tell she's not really out of it yet because she hasn't taken, like, she's so fresh out of the relationship. She hasn't been able to take a step back and look in and to see that there were some red flags and there was were some things that weren't okay. Because everything she said, like, she even said that and she was like, well, he'll apologize. Like, he called me and apologized. And it's like, yeah, but, like, that's still wrong.
Yeah.
And so you can tell she was just like, he's not a bad person. And she did say this. He's not a bad person. He's very loving. He's very kind, like all of these things. But he did bad. Like, he did these things to me still.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there's just things. I think a lot of people go through this is that, like, there's things that you probably learn in relationships. Like, hey, maybe I wasn't the best in that relationship.
Yeah.
And I'll learn from that. And maybe, to her point, he's not a bad person.
Right.
But I think maybe there's things that he should learn and how to treat his significant other.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't doing it right to her, which just sucks. And
And I do hate to say it, dude. She's the only reason I knew anything more about that relationship or about Matt. Because
same, I only followed for her.
And did you hear her talking about how she was like, yeah, you know, I just felt less than.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah. She was like, I just felt there was a power imbalance in the relationship. She was like talking about Matt like he
is
was,
this God?
Yes, like he was,
I was
like,
gonna say, this is the vibe I'm getting.
Like, he's just like so, you know, great, and he does all these things and he's so this and that. And then she said this and she was like, and I'm just some girl. And I'm like, oh my God, you are not just some girl. You're the only reason that I literally know more about your relationship.
But that also goes back to that he wasn't fulfilling that for her.
Right.
Like, he wasn't fulfilling the needs of making her feel like she's this most amazing, beautiful person ever to grace this earth.
Put her on a pedestal, which she should be.
And vice versa. Like, she obviously was doing that for him, which the ego was boosted, but you got to do it back to your partner.
I know. And it's like, you can tell, like, it's all about the energy. And like, you can tell also, I've learned this lately in life, because how you feel about yourself around other people isn't about yourself. It's about the other people. It's about how they make you feel. I feel so comfortable and so good about myself when I'm around Shannon, but somebody else, I may feel insecure about every word that I say, but that's not on me. You know what I mean?
It's the other person making you feel that way.
Yeah. And it's like,
not you.
And it's not direct. It's not somebody being like, that was a stupid thing to say, but it's just an energy that you get from somebody. And it's like, when you start to feel like crap about yourself, you have to understand it's not you. It's the other person. It's how they, it's little things they say. It's little energies. It's little things that they do, whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why they say.
Take that as a lesson.
Yeah. That's why they say surround yourself.
Surround yourself with better people.
Like-minded people.
Right. So it was really a lot. It was heavy. I feel bad for her. I know that she's going through it. And
it's very fresh, too. So it's like.
Not even 2 weeks out.
That's tough. That's tough.
But it's also, can we talk about Alex Cooper? The devil works hard, but Alex Cooper works harder.
Oh, I kept seeing
you got somebody not even 2 weeks out of their relationship. Girl.
I saw that. What was it? Kris Jenner works hard, but Alex Cooper is working harder.
She is working extra harder. Dude, that's harder
insane.
Now.
Also, to get someone 2 weeks out of a breakup to come on a podcast to talk about the.
Just sitting. She's like, girl, we all are like. You know she just wants to be curled up in her bed, but like I'm so happy that she did this because it's like we all relate to that.
Yeah. Honestly, there might be some part of it where she's like, all right, let me just talk about it. Everyone get off my back and leave me alone.
Right. But also she deserves to have her story told, you know, like that use your voice, sister, because you deserve it. And also I'll say another thing about Alex Cooper. She did really, really well.
Alex Cooper did really well in this interview for the little bit that I did watch of it. And then I saw a bunch of TikToks about it, too. Like.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like, I wish she asked. And then I was like, oh, she asked it. Never mind. I was like, she asked all the questions she did I wanted. Great.
But also, like, the OG Alex Cooper definitely would have been like, Kim, girl, like, let's go take some shots. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that sound. But it was like, she was, like, so respectful. She was so respectful. She was also just like giving her time to like get her thoughts out,
which is really nice.
Yes.
So instead of like interjecting bombarding and asking a bunch of questions, it's like, hey, here's a platform, just tell your story.
Yeah, she asked like one question and she just let her tell the story.
That's
and like
nice.
Yeah, but she was also very comforting. It was like when she said like she literally looked at Rachel and was like, you were about to get on the flight and he knew your phone didn't work and he posted that. Like, what? Like, almost like a, I know you don't see it, but we all see it.
I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give you a hint.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You know? So I really liked Alex Cooper in this episode too. It was just like kind of like a different type of interview, a little bit more quiet, a little bit more sad. So anyways, much love, Rachel. We hope you're healing and sending you all the love. So yeah. Anyways.
So this has nothing to do with that, but I'm just
gonna, I know there's no transition.
No transition to that. So we're all just going to accept that I'm about to talk about this.
Cool.
I saw an interview. So Joe Keery,
Stranger Things. Of course.
Oh my God. Steven?
What's his name?
Steve. I was so close.
Yep.
So I saw this interview on Jimmy Fallon of Joe Keery.
Yeah.
He plays Steve on Stranger Things. And he was talking about, you know, he's doing the promo, I guess, for like season 5, I believe, which is the last season of Stranger Things. And he's talking about it. And we kind of touched on this where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I watched Stranger Things years ago, almost a decade ago.
Right.
And he's talking about it. And he was like, you know, this was like a third of my life. And when he said that, I was like, wow. And he was like, this is. Like, I believe it was like the first thing he's ever been casted in and everything like that. And then I started thinking about Millie Bobby Brown. And I literally was like, this girl was a child casted in the show. And now she is married and she's a woman.
Yeah.
And I just was like sitting there. And I'm like, this has got to be one of the most emotional things. I know this isn't the first time a TV show has been on for like so many years and it ends and whatever. But like, this was like their entire lives and it changed their entire lives too. Cause like,
yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown was just a girl who got casted as 11, and now she's so famous, talked about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these people have been casted in so many different things, and it's just, I don't know, it's just got to be so emotional, And it's such a pivotal point for all of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's all
and
ending.
And our lives, dude.
And ours.
I think about that sometimes and I'm like, okay, think about Friends in its time. Like, mm-hmm. Friends in its time was the show. And it still is the show for the next generation. Like, everybody watches Friends. Everybody watches Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. This is like kind of like one of our shows, which it just shows a little bit about our generation, a little bit about like our, you know, how we grew up a little bit, you know, because mm-hmm. you watch Sex and the City, you watch Friends, and it's like the style, the hair, whatever. It's all pretty, I don't know, just pivotal. But I say that, but it's also made in, never mind.
I actually don't know if it's even set in a time zone.
It's set in
a is it earlier set in the, like zone. 90s?
It's set in like I want to say 80s.
Cause well, I was gonna say because you know how like Riverdale gives that vibe, but they don't set it in a year.
Oh, I'm so not sure like, what it's set in.
I was gonna say, is Stranger Things actually set in a year, or is it like one of those things where they like perceive it as the 80s, but it's like they have iPhones and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, right.
I think it actually is set in a year though.
It's gotta be. Right. I think it's gotta be too. I think it was the 80s for sure. But I mean, anyway, what I meant to say is like our generation loved this show. It was such a big show. And that's telling for us.
Yeah, I watched it. I think I literally feel like I watched it with my parents.
Yep.
And then I watched it in college and now I'm watching it out of college.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right.
Like, that's just and it's 5 seasons. So it's not like it's been like a Grey's Anatomy where it's been on for like 55 seasons and we're still going and we're still
doing. I
thought
you were going to say 55 years. I was like, pretty much.
We're on the 18th of the same storyline. Everyone got in a plane. Someone died.
Everybody died.
They're all in the fort. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't watch Grey's Anatomy anymore. But like, it's, I don't know. It's just such a very well-made show and a great storyline and all of that stuff. And I don't know. It's just amazing. And it's all coming to an end. And
that is really sad.
Crazy to just think about these. This was their entire lives.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think about, too. It's like growing up, like, oh, what was your childhood? Oh, I played Manhunt. Millie Bobby Brown's like, yeah, Stranger Things. Like, that was her childhood.
Mm-hmm. She was young. She was really young.
Kid.
Yeah.
A baby.
We were almost kids.
I know.
And it is crazy. Like, I remember seeing Millie Bobby Brown's wedding. Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Wedding, by the way.
Also, what a name. Millie Bobby Brown Bon Jovi?
Jovi? Yeah. Billy Bobby Bon Jovi.
Is it Bon Jovi? Is
that that's... Dude, we had this conversation before.
I know.
That's
fucking
sick. That's a sick name. Billy Bobby Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
I love it. But I remember seeing her wedding, and I was like, oh, my God. First of all, gorgeous wedding. I... We'll forever have that on my Pinterest board. But second of all, what?
I know she's married.
What? You're 11 still.
Literally.
You're 11 at 11. Yeah. So I'm just like, it's crazy. I feel like they've had their whole child. It was a lot of our lives. And like, we all are like waiting for Stranger Things new season all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. We're waiting for a new season.
Literally, like, 2 years ago, the other one came out.
And then we binge it. And then we're like, well
let's wait for the next one. I bet you they're going to do a part one, part two. And I want to.
Oh, of course they are. Someone. Of course they are. I'm okay as long as it's bingeable, you know?
If I can binge part one and then binge part two.
I'm good with it.
It's fine.
But a week to week, I hate a week to week. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for Severance to come out.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Before that, though, speaking of amazing shows, there's also great movies.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we have the Oscar nominations.
Yes, let's get into it.
Okay, so I'm going to read not all of them because there's a lot more.
The main ones.
Yeah, we'll talk about the main ones, you know. Okay. I'll read them and I'll tell you who was nominated and then we're going to pick who we think should win.
Okay.
Okay, we have Best Picture.
Okay.
Also... forgive me with the pronunciation of names, not for Best Picture, but for, you know, later. Amelia Perez, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Nickel Boys, I'm Still Here, The Substance, Dune Part 2, Wicked, Anora, and The Brutalist.
Oof, I'm in between Wicked and Dune for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in that same. I feel like Wicked is probably just.
Wicked is really, really good. But at the same time, I don't know. But again, like my heart is screaming Dune just because like those are my types of movies.
I would say, are you personally picking? Or are you thinking like what's actually going
to
win?
Personally. Oh, yeah. What are we supposed to do?
I was going to pick what I think is actually going to win.
What do you think actually will win? Apparently, Emilia Perez is.
Dude, didn't it?
So good.
Didn't it sweep the Golden Globes?
Yes, it did.
Okay, I heard people kind of confused about that one.
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Golden Globes are only...
Right, yes. Right. So that's why I think Wicked's going to win.
You think Wicked?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I just have a feeling. I kind of want Dune to win, personally.
I do want Dune to win.
I've actually not seen Dune Part 2. But I want it to win.
I do. I mean, it's just like, I don't know.
I don't know what it is about it that I want it to win.
It's a vibe. It's different. It's a world building type movie. So it's like insane.
I thought you were going to pick up one. I was like, I don't know why I want it to win.
Oh my God. How about you and Timmy go take your Dune bucket somewhere else?
It's funny because a complete unknown is in this, but I know that's not going to win.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I'm between Wicked and Dune Part 2.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Best actor.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is where I'm going to mess some names up.
Okay.
Ralph Fiennes, Conclave. Sebastian Stan, The Apprentice. Timothy Chalamet, A Complete Unknown. Colman Domingo, Sing Sing. Adrian Brody, The Brutalist.
I haven't watched any of those movies.
I'm going to say The Brutalist, Adrian Brody.
I was going to say The Brutalist is all I've heard of.
Because that's that won all the Golden Globes, too.
Okay. Got it. Okay, yep. I need to get up on my... I need to start studying.
I know, right? I start watching some movies.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
Guy Pearce, The Brutalist.
It's all right.
Yuri Borsov, Anora.
Okay. Wait.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's who we think it is.
Yep.
Edward Norton, A Complete Unknown.
Okay.
Kieran Culkin, A Real Pain. Jeremy Strong, The Apprentice. Now.
Okay, wait, is the Anora, is that the boyfriend husband?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I'm gonna guess based off the name.
Again, I haven't seen any other one. So, and I did love Anora, so I'm gonna say it's him.
Okay, I have not seen A Real Pain, but I wanna see it really bad. So I do think Kieran Culkin is gonna
win. Oh my God, Kieran Culkin in that whole, I wanna watch it just because he's hilarious.
Have you seen their like promo tour?
Oh yeah.
It's so funny. The two of them are like complete opposites.
I saw a TikTok of the director, I forgot his name. But the director, we all know him.
He's the director and the actor.
And the actor. Yeah, right. Yeah. He was like
he's so funny.
It's like this TikTok trend where you're like, oh, you're so, quote unquote, you're so funny. And he's like, thanks. My co-actor bailed on the movie 2 weeks before we started filming. And Emma Stone had to get him to do it.
No, literally. I saw an interview about somebody asking like, hey, I heard Kieran Culkin like didn't want to do it anymore. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's
and
hilarious.
And the fact that Emma Stone is like directing it or produce something like that. She's a part of it. And I'm like, that's so funny because they used to date. Did you know that?
Kieran Culkin and Emma Stone?
Yes.
That's funny.
It is funny.
No, I love their two dynamic because he's so type B and I don't know his name. Kieran Culkin's so type B and the director. We all know him.
Oh my gosh.
But he's so type A.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. He tells so many stories about Kieran Culkin, like them getting on the plane and the director guy shows up like so early in advance and he's there and he goes to security and the whole thing. Kieran Culkin just like walks up 5 minutes for and everyone's like, hey.
No, I know. I resonate with him for sure.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. Next we have Best Actress, Fernanda Torres, I'm Still Here. Demi Moore, The Substance, Carla Sofia Gascon, Emilia Perez, Cynthia Erivo, Wicked, and then Mikey Madison and Nora. That's a loaded. So I have so many qualms with this category.
Go ahead.
I think that Cynthia Erivo was amazing in Wicked.
Yeah.
Amazing. I literally can't even imagine anyone else playing Elphaba.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Madison. Spectacular in Anora, like
phenomenal.
A completely different person.
Phenomenal.
And then deep down, I really just want Demi Moore to win because
I see that
her winning the Golden Globes and her making that speech and her being like, I've never won an award and I've been doing this for like 45 years. Right. I'm like, let's take her all the way.
Right.
Let's
take her all the way. I know. And I was going to, my heart was screaming that same thing, but I do think that Cynthia Erivo will win.
I agree.
I think that just the, I don't just think the pure raw talent.
I don't think the Academy is going to ignore that. Like it's, and look, Demi Moore, I think should even just like, it's amazing that she's
yeah
in this
nominated for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't even think of the word.
100%. But I think that it's one thing to be an amazing, incredible actor. It really, really, and I'm not speaking low on that, but I'm saying like Cynthia Erivo, it's not just the acting. It is the voice. Singing. It is everything.
Everything.
The absolute transforming into Elphaba. And insane. I don't think anybody
can argue that.
Right.
Yeah. So my heart goes with Demi Moore, but I do think Cynthia Erivo is going to win.
Yeah.
Best supporting actress.
Okay.
Zoe Saldana and Emilia Perez. Yeah. Felicity Jones, The Brutalist. Monica Barbaro, A Complete Unknown. Ariana Grande, Wicked. Isabella Rossellini, Conclave.
Ariana. Duh.
I know.
It's the best movie of the year.
I know. Again, someone else. I cannot picture anyone else being...
Oh, Glinda, my God.
Glinda.
And again, it's just, I'm sorry. It's the raw talent. It's you're coming in with the voice. You're doing whistle screams for a minute straight.
Yeah.
Or whistle singing for it. And I'm like, it's raw talent. It is just, I don't know, well deserved. Everybody can. People who even don't like Ariana are like, she's phenomenal in this.
She completely 100%. Embodied that role. Like, to the hair. It's like, yeah, you just have to respect it.
But it's like a pivotal moment in our entire generation. Like, you can't forget that either. Nobody's going to be like, oh, do you remember 2024? Or like, what is it? The Brutalist? Like, no.
Well, so there's a lot of controversy around controversy.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of these, so don't.
I have not watched The Brutalist, but I've heard that apparently in the movie, when I guess at some point he speaks Hungarian, they used AI for it.
Yikes.
So it's like,
yikes.
Yeah. And it's like sad that that's kind of the point we're getting to, is like, are we gonna start having like things that are like made by human?
Yeah,
like that kind of sucks. I don't,
wait a damn,
that kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of this podcast, is like, I really appreciate the art of like the human mind creating these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes everything so beautiful. So the fact that AI is coming in,
yeah,
is making it sad.
Like, yeah, write my emails, but like, stop it there. But also at the same time,
don't get a,
like,
personality on me.
It's just so discrediting, because even with like Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, they were like, I want this to be so and feel so real that we're gonna do every song live. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do it again and again and again until we get it right. The work, the talent, everything was really put in, and like, you have to like credit that to them, because singing all of those songs, the songs that they sang live,
is insane.
Ridiculous.
I mean, Cynthia Erivo going in a corset, in the full-blown, you know, trap thing, flying through the air, belting out Defying Gravity,
yeah,
is one of the most insane things I've ever watched.
She can do that shit sitting down, scrunched over, girl.
Literally.
Raw power.
Literally. It's, yeah, it's amazing. So yeah. I just think it's...
But also, sorry, another point on the language thing. I'm always so impressed when people... learn languages for movies and do them so well. I'm always like just starstruck. And mm-hmm. So that sucks.
I know. I think it's like we're going to have to get to a point where we're like, sorry, if you, no.
Boycott.
I don't care how good the movie was.
Boycott.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like it.
No, because there are people who want that part and there are people who put in the work for that part. You know what I mean?
And also like, imagine just like going up against something that was made by AI. Right. That just sucks.
I will say, though, I don't know literally anything else about the movie or about any situation. All I know is that he was doing Hungarian and I don't know anything else.
Also, I don't even know if that's a fact. I just heard it from someone else. So
we're just saying,
don't quote us. If that actually happened, though, this is my feelings and thoughts about it.
Yeah, and I'm allowed to have that. Anyway.
And I will say that these are my feelings and thoughts still stand if in the future that this happens. Because that's totally,
it's just not,
couldn't happen.
I agree.
So last category we're going to talk about,
okay,
which I'm rooting so hard for,
okay,
best animated feature.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say. Okay,
we have Flow,
yeah,
Inside Out 2, The Wild Robot, Wallace and Gromit: Vengeance Most Foul, and Memoir of a Snail. Now, if Wild Robot does not win,
you're serious.
I'm crying about it.
Serious.
I'm crying about it. What, Shay, when I tell you,
Shannon,
we're gonna kind of roll right into the watches of the week, because it's also at the top of my I was sobbing. Like, sobbing watching this movie. I don't know what crack they put in that movie that made me.
She is tearing up, you guys.
I am tearing up, if you can't watch me or you can't see me. I started this movie and I was like,
yeah,
I'll tear up, but like, it's fine. Like, I was sitting on the couch watching this movie, like,
yeah,
I was like, oh my god, like, tears were just streaming from my face, and I was like, oh my god, like, this is an amazing movie. It's beautifully, like, it's a beautifully made kids movie.
Wow.
Where I'm like, kids will never appreciate
like it. And that's a lot of movies. That's a lot of animated movies.
And it's like, even when you think the movie's ending, it's not even over.
Wow.
But no, I watched the whole movie and I just literally was like, wow, that's a beautiful movie. And I stumbled upon the trailer later in the night and I sat there and watched the full trailer and cried.
You just needed to reawaken those feelings.
I need to refeel this movie.
Dude, I know. And that's a little bit. Okay, I was going to say Inside Out 2 because it's the only one that I know right now. But because it did make me feel that same way, the whole anxiety attack, that was so real.
Yeah, so if I did not watch The Wild Robot, I would have been like Inside Out 2.
Right, but The Wild Robot takes the cake, you think? I'm going to watch it.
It made me feel a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
I feel. I just really liked it. I don't know. It's just a really sweet movie in so many different ways. I don't know.
I'm sold.
But my other thing is I posted this on my story the other day, was that the worst decision I made the other day was to watch The Wild Robot,
mm-hmm.
to then immediately, I've been watching Shrinking, to immediately watch the last episode of Shrinking. I don't think I stopped crying for like 2 hours.
You were going on 2 hours, girl. 2 hours is one movie.
I know. I was crying from like mid The Wild Robot all the way into Shrinking. I was like, what is going on?
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I remember Shrinking.
I was going to say, if you don't know what Shrinking is, it's basically shrinks, a.k.a. therapists. And it's like a comedy drama, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's basically about this therapist who lost his wife and just kind of like the trials and tribulations of that and having a daughter. And but it's like funny. And I think it's the third season or second season. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I had one episode left. And the episode before it was like kind of sad, but like nothing terrible. I like teared up a little bit.
Yeah.
But also it just the last episode, one of the therapists, the older therapists in this show has Parkinson's, and it was just really like the whole end of the episode, he stands up and is basically like, I'm not taking my medication right now, I'm gonna wait till I like really really need it, and it's just everyone in the room was crying, and it was just so, I don't know, so touching. And then there's like another part in the show where, you know, someone breaks down and it's like, I need help, I'm not okay. It pulled on the heartstrings, and it's one of those shows where it's funny. And when it hits the emotional string, you're like, holy crap, I didn't realize this one funny show could hit me.
Where you're
hard.
Like crying and then you're laughing with tears in your eyes. Yeah. Yes. No, I get that.
But it's an amazing show. So I highly recommend Shrinking if you haven't watched it.
Love. Well, let's dive into our watches of the week.
I know. I really just flowed right into that because of The Wild Robot.
I love it. It was a perfect transition. So my watch of the week was Severance because I was so...
Okay.
I'm addicted. I literally bought Apple TV just so that I could watch Severance. And
perfect.
Oh,
you
my
can
God.
Watch Shrinking now too.
I will. Oh. And I will. But I'm like, worth it. Worth it. Even though I'm still on my 9-day trial, but still.
Okay, so where are you at in Severance? What episode?
Finished.
Season one, or is it just like completely
finished until tomorrow it comes out? Yes, I know. It was so good. Holy, I've never in my life been like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And also just like, it is such a good concept. It is so crazy. The last episode of season one.
Okay. Before we go into it, because we are about to spoil some things.
Yes, we are.
So if you do not want to hear any spoilers about Severance, please skip ahead now.
skip ahead now. Also did debrief what it was about, but we'll give a little thing. It's about people who have severed minds. One part of their mind works in an office and they don't have any correlate or any memory of anything outside of the office. The other mind side of their mind is living outside and is normal and lives their life. So it's two different people. It's a whole, I don't even know how to explain it. You just got to watch it.
It's kind of one of the things like, that's it. That's all we're going to tell you because that's what it's about.
Right.
Now.
Crazy.
Did you, the twist?
Oh man.
I did not even put, I didn't even think.
Oh, I did.
Oh, you thought?
I did like think.
Someone might be.
I thought it right after Miss Cobell said to his sister, Mike's? What's his name?
Mike.
Mike's sister. She was like, does he ever wonder if he sees his ex-wife or his late wife anywhere? And that's when I knew that she was still alive. I was just like,
oh,
who
you were
is
talking
it?
About the wife.
Oh.
I was talking about Helena Heliar. That one threw me for a friggin' loop.
That one threw me for a
that's
loop.
When I said last week, I said I was standing on my couch being like, what?
Oh.
That part, I literally was like,
Oh my God.
The
intense feelings that I had during that scene, I literally was like, Heliar is an Egan. Oh my God. And she was about to go up on stage and she got what she had to say out and I was like, yes.
Okay. There was a part of me that was like, yeah, say it. But the other part of me was like, no, don't say it. Don't say it. Because I was like, now you know. Now take all that information and bring it back. But then she said it and I was like, wait, now you kind of ruined it. Anyways, though, still
take all that information and take it back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, oh my God, what if they're like, what if they vote no? Because it was like, if they vote no, then they're not going to get the funding.
Yeah, I know.
So it was changed their minds.
I was torn about it because I was like, half of me was like, say your piece, Heli.
Yep.
But then the other part of me was like, wait, we can conspire.
Yeah, that's true. Which they still are.
They still are. Well, for sure. My thought is it's not Heli. I don't think that that's Heli. I think that's Helena.
Oh my God, you genius.
So this is what I was talking
about. But
there's
no way to reverse it.
Okay, so this is my thing is that
okay.
there's so many conspiracies.
Okay, wait, that's
there's
a
so
tough
many theories.
One.
So, and I've watched so many. So the number one is that that's not Heliar. That is now Helena, and mm-hmm. she's pretending to be Heli.
Mm-hmm.
First things first is when they were all in that little room,
yeah.
and they watched the claymation thing.
She lied,
and she was like, "Oh, it's boring." Blah blah. That was kind of like dead giveaway to me.
Oh my God.
I was like, that's weird. Why would Heli lie about that? The only theory is because she's like, I don't want anyone to know. I'm like,
I don't want anyone
this.
To know. Exactly. I thought so, that same way.
But now this is getting deep. So the elevator.
Yep.
When it goes down, it dings.
Yep.
And that's when they
and
severed.
It didn't ding.
It did not ding for Helena when she went down. Is that not crazy?
And it's always the smallest little details mm-hmm. that I miss and that are the biggest
it didn't ding when she came down, and then also there's other parts where when she comes down, so it dings in the same note every time that they come down, and mm-hmm. it dings in the same note when they go back up.
Mm-hmm.
Different notes.
Mm-hmm.
When she comes down, it's mm-hmm. like an octave lower.
Okay, so in this is the kind of show that it's so well thought out that everything matters. So I 100% can see that. What a...
No, I know. So now I think... And like there's so many things where like they were walking in the hall and Mark was talking to her and he said something about like... I think he said something about like, oh, like we're the same person or something. Or we're... And she looked at him and goes, well, we're not the same person.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, so I think she's like their
but that
inside.
Was me thinking like, I'm not her. I'm not Egan. I'm not an Egan.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I'm so torn on that. I have no idea. But
I know.
At the same time, I'm like, that's genius.
It is so, so well thought out. It is amazing. And what was the other thing? Oh, now what they do like for work, right? The whole theory is that they basically are... So like his wife, right?
Right.
Miss Casey. They're basically like creating people and their personalities. So like what they're doing on the computer is taking these numbers and putting them into four different like personality traits. I can't remember what they are exactly, but so it like, so there's like certain ones in certain boxes, and then close that one up, and that's for Miss Casey. So then when she comes back up from that deep dungeon elevator, she's a new person.
Oh my God. Ah, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's all too much. It's so like mind screwing.
And then there's a whole nother thing.
Please, I'm invested.
There's so many other things. It's like, there's like a bunch of people got in a bunch of car accidents.
Yeah.
And that's how his wife died. And they, like, people think that they are causing these car accidents to take these people as like test subjects.
Yeah.
And then creating them into people like Miss Casey and just rebooting them constantly.
Yeah.
And like trying to figure out which one works the best.
Oh my gosh. And see, that was my thing too. I was like, how did they like kill her off, show her body and do all of that? But then also like, where, like, I thought they're definitely doing some type of like human trials for some reason with these people. And I'm like, it's like, I don't even know what I'm trying to think of, but there is a freaking show where they all go down and it's like all those bodies. Oh my God, Westworld.
Oh yeah, Westworld. Yes. Yeah, that's a crazy show.
Yes. And I was like, that's what I was thinking. It's giving Westworld. It's giving Westworld for sure.
So yeah, because.
But why is the thing? Why? What's the bigger picture?
That's what I don't understand. Well, so that's what I think all the goats are for too. The goats are the like animal test subjects.
The goats were weird.
I know.
I could not even correlate anything with the goats.
Yeah. So I think they're like the first test.
Yeah.
And then they move on to like actual human trials.
Dang.
With these dead people.
Crazy.
So
here's my thought too. Mrs. Cobell is going to turn good. That's my thought.
I do too. I think she's going to go against Mark. Yeah.
She likes Mark. She's also like, screw this company for firing me.
Literally. I think she's starting to.
Yeah, I agree.
She's a little crazy.
Oh my God, the whole thing where they go down and they're like, oh, it's been 5 months. It's been 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Two days.
And then you guys are like the face of like severed, and it holds up the newspaper. Completely Photoshop newspaper. It's literally.
They're I think it was you did something. Look, you did it. And now we have to change.
I'm pretty sure the newspaper was like Lumen Times or something like that. I was like, excuse me, what?
Oh my gosh. It's all just so. And they can just go down and lie about it. I know. And it's like, oh my God.
And they're just like rebooting them basically. Oh my God. It's frustrating, but so fun.
It's so good. It's so exciting. This is, you guys, I'm going to rate the show 11 out of 10. I 100% think everybody needs to watch it. It's so good and just so like. Catching, you're on the edge of your seat at all times.
Yeah, so I also, it's 11 out of 10 for me. I mean, I said that last week. But the first episode of season 2 is the one where he's running around the halls.
Mm-hmm.
That took 5 months to film.
And that was insane.
I was like, this is a beautifully filmed scene.
It is a beautifully filmed scene. And also, his acting's phenomenal.
Yeah, so it's so funny because I saw BTS this past week. Of like that scene,
mm-hmm.
I said that cameraman putting in work,
running.
He's running backwards, sideways, forwards, like,
yeah.
And he's just following him. And it's like, don't get me wrong, Mark also was running,
yeah.
But this man is holding like a camera rig with a camera on it, one handed, running, and I'm like, that is impressive.
That is very impressive. That is, I agree.
Impressive.
But I was like, that whole like first scene, genius, because it was like just the emotional pull. Like you could tell right when he clicked in and it was Mark from work,
mm-hmm.
He was like, and then he was like, just that whole running scene. It was just so like, it just pulled on your emotional strings. Because it was like, you know, he's running to go and find her. And she's gone.
And that's the thing. It's like all of them, like the continuation from the end of season one, I was right. Like, this is so amazing. Like all coming down the elevator, like Irv is like knocking on the door. Like, oh my God, it was awesome.
That was all just like too much.
I know.
Too much. And also and they didn't show Helly R's reaction. No, they didn't. Damn.
Mm-mm.
That was slick, you guys. You're really, you got me.
You got me.
If it's Helly from upstairs, you got me. Anyway.
Yeah.
We can run through a little bit of like what else we've been watching for the week, but it is almost time to wrap it up.
Yeah. So I'm not proud to say I watched a show.
Say it.
It's lame.
Okay.
But it's a guilty pleasure for sure. EXO Kitty.
Oh my God. Wait, I actually saw a lot of people loving this.
I am so into. So I watched the first season when it came out and I got so into it. It is so like cheesy. But it's like.
Sometimes that's fun.
Oh, it sucks you in. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God. So I just finished season two and I love it. I would recommend if you don't mind cheesy things and, you know, like it's cheesy.
Oh, I love that. Oh, and I'm into
super predictable. It's brain rot for sure.
I'm into it.
Yeah. So a bunch of reality television that we don't even need to really like talk about. But Southern Charm.
Love.
It's Southern Charm. I love it. Nothing crazy. Traitors, highly recommend. If you don't watch reality television, you should watch Traitors.
Okay.
Southern Hospitality, again, eh. Beast Games, fun. Just waiting to see who wins $5 million.
For real.
Yep. And Love Island All-Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love.
That's all I'm watching. That's it.
That's it, guys.
All 18 shows.
Dude, you're really on it. I am not on it. I have been building Legos at night and I have been reading my book, Onyx Storm. I'm literally on like chapter two, you guys. I started like this morning. I just got into Severance so quickly and I was like, I wanted to have Onyx Storm finished by now, but I got into Severance. So I'm going to be working on that one next week because now Severance is week to week. So I have time, a little more time. But I've been doing Legos. Legos sent me a massive PR box. Me. And I was like, okay, like who needs a van when you have Legos to like send you all these flowers? You know?
Like, yeah, the fact that they were all bouquets of flowers, I was like, wait, I'm dying.
And you bet your ass they're going to be all over my house. Like that is incredible and I'm going to have so much fun. So that's what I'll be doing. And
who needs plants when you have Legos?
Exactly, they're way easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you, since we were talking about Severance, mm-hmm. Sorry to go back to that, but would you get it?
No, God no.
Yeah, I don't think I would either,
because again it was like the, you know, that the bald guy in the beginning, he was like kind of like the douchey guy at the table when it was first starting out. He was like, so you're pretty much, you have no idea what that person's doing, and when you're up here you're killing him off pretty much, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It feels like, it just feels unfair. And I do not have the mental capacity to not know what the hell I'm doing downstairs.
The spiral.
What if I embarrass myself? I have to know.
Also the way they like get injured and they're like, oh yeah, I hit my hand on the, or I accidentally used the stapler.
Helly being like, I'll cut all four fingers off right now. What a badass.
I know. Hangs herself, right? Sorry, spoiling.
Crazy. Yes. Yeah,
but yeah, no, I thought about it too and I was like, would I get it? And I was like, no.
Hell no.
Big picture, no. Is it nice to like think that like you can just go make money and not even remember what the heck you're doing and you're just getting money?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. But like, I don't know. I think I'm just that type of person that was like, I would like to enjoy my job, mm-hmm. and make money and still live my
100%.
Life.
Yeah, yeah, I think that you meet coworkers, you meet people, you have experiences, new perspectives. There's fun parts
about working.
Yeah.
So I have a fun question for you.
Okay.
Well, that kind of was like a fun question.
Yeah, that was a fun question.
Since we're talking about like movies and the Oscars and everything like that, if you were a main character in a movie,
okay,
of your life,
okay,
and you know how in like horror movies you see like someone's going in the basement and you're like, don't go in the basement, and you're screaming at them, or you're like, they're behind you, or chase her to the airport, or like you're yelling to tell them to do something, what would the audience be yelling at you?
At me?
Yeah, like watching a movie of your life right now, what is the audience yelling at you?
Oh girl,
let me tell you, I hope they're not yelling at me, he's behind you. I'd be like,
yep. No, I feel like, oh my God, what my audience would be saying to me is, I don't know. You answer first. That's a hard one. You answer first.
When I thought about it, I was like, I had a, because I don't know either.
Yeah.
Because I think it's also the whole like, I can't see it, you know, it's right. The whole outside perspective.
Right.
I don't know. I just think people would be yelling at me, do it.
Do it.
Do it. Because there's a lot of stuff I second guess and then I don't do. And I can just feel like people are like, do it. Just
now
do
I have
it.
Okay, now I have mine.
Yeah.
It was that, but now it's you're doing it.
You're doing it.
You're doing it. But also I think it would be like from an outside perspective, like you're making the right decision. Like stop questioning your decision. I feel like that would be it. Like stop questioning yourself.
Almost like you're watching a movie and you're like, they're like, oh, should I chase her to the airport? And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. You should.
I love
that. And they're like
second
guessing it. And you're like, I don't know. Does she love me? Yes, she does.
Well, if anyone's watching Shannon's movie, just know I am that person that's like,
yelling at
me,
do it. That's why when I first saw that question, I literally was like, yeah, it's, I'm a Nike ad. Shay's over here going, just do it.
I'm always saying that. Like, I was thinking about New York next week and I'm like, do it like Nike. That's my saying in my head. I'm like, just do it like Nike. Anyway.
Checks, not stripes.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would be my thing is like, you're doing it.
You're doing it.
Or stop questioning yourself. You're being stupid.
Okay. My next question.
Okay.
There's 1,000 grapes. Each grape is $50,000 that you eat, but one is poisonous and will kill you. How many are you eating? 1,000 grapes.
1,000 grapes.
Each is $50,000 that you eat.
And I get $50,000?
Each grape you eat.
Okay. God. I mean, like, what are the chances? Like, I would
on the
eat,
first one.
I would eat, I mean, hell, I'll be happy after 2 grapes if I have 100K.
I said, yeah, I'd be happy after 2, but.
But, like, you don't know. And, like, maybe I'd do 100.
100?
No, I mean, I'm just thinking percentage wise, like what is 100 of 1,000? That's like 10%.
I know, like what's the likelihood that you'd actually get a poisonous one in that?
Right. So like out of 100, how likely is it that I would die? 10%.
Yeah.
I'll take that chance. Sorry.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Because I said, I was like, oh, maybe to 1,000,000. That's 20 grapes. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, so that's fire.
Right? And I was like, come on.
Come on, twist my arm.
Come on, how unlucky am I?
How unlucky am I? That must be my question. But at the same time, like if you were actually sitting in front of me, I probably wouldn't eat any because I would
agreed.
I don't want to die.
I ain't playing Russian roulette here.
Yeah, like money doesn't matter that much at the end of the day.
This ain't Squid Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's funny.
I don't know. I found that so interesting because I thought about it and I was like, me not having any grapes in front of me, I was like 20.
Yeah. No, if they were in front of me and they were like, one of these will kill you, I'd be like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I'd be like,
bye.
I beg you eat one first.
Me and my 20 bucks will be sitting pretty, honey, and yeah, alive.
Alive. So. I'll be broke, but alive.
Yeah. Well, okay, guys. Well, this is super fun. I am super excited we have so many things I feel like to watch, and I'm now going to watch Shrinking. There's just so many things that I'm going to watch this week. And
oh, yeah. You'll love Shrinking because you're on your therapist journey, too.
Yeah. I'm also doing Fashion Week this week in New York. Yes. So that'll be really fun, Debrief.
Shay's doing Fashion Week, and I'm doing Super Bowl.
Yes, we have. Oh, my God. So many good things. And I'm going to miss you so much. I was like, Shannon, just come with me.
I know. That's why we have to make this weekend.
I know. Yeah, for sure. So anyways, we will be coming back to chat with you guys to give you updates, give you some Fashion Week updates. Okay. I've only been one other time and it was only one event and I've got multiple. So this will be interesting.
I'm excited for you.
I know. I've got like fittings and shit. It'll be really exciting.
Fittings?
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
My God. We.
I know. So it'll be so exciting and fun. You've got the Super Bowl and
we're I have the.
Yeah. Like, girl, this is your moment.
It kills me. Shay's like, yeah, I'm going to New York Fashion Week. And I'm like, acting as if I'm playing in the Super Bowl. I'm like, yeah, I have the Super Bowl this weekend.
You are.
I am. If I'm not there watching.
You're their number one fan.
Guys, if they lose, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh my God.
We're going to just pretend that this
that
whole
didn't
thing
happen.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, I get that. That's okay. I'll be here to hold your hand.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we love you guys. Thank you for, actually, sorry, Shan.
Yeah,
that's on you,
really
babes.
Cut me off.
I know.
I mean, we do love you guys, but don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, leave us 5 stars on Spotify. Follow us on the socials at See You Next Tuesday Pod with 1 T on Instagram and DM us anything you want. We love you.
We love you. All right, guys. Famously, we'll see you next Tuesday.